You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
A team of New Zealand researchers have recently released the results of the world's first bilberry genome sequencing project. Bilberries, also known as European blueberries, are an obscure fruit similar to blueberries, but with a consistently violet inner pigment compared to blueberries' green insides. I have spoken to Richard Espley from Plant and Food Research, who were behind the study, about their findings and the possible health effects of breeding bilberries and blueberries. I first asked him why the bilberry genomes are important to Aotearoa.
Well, bilberry genomes are important because what we want to try and do is breed the good parts of bilberry with the good parts of blueberry. Essentially, you know, blueberries are very nice to eat, but they're also known to be very good for you, very good part of the diet. So, and much of that goodness is from the pigment that is on the skin of blueberries. So it's got that dark blue skin. And that's a compound called anthocyanin, and there's lots of research to suggest we should be eating quite a lot of that, and it's very good for us. The thing is with blueberries, actually that pigment, that colour isn't in the middle of the fruit at all. It's just on the skin. And those blueberries are from North America, but there's a related species from Northern Europe called European blueberry or bilberry. And that has that intensely coloured skin, but it also has intense pigmentation colour all the way throughout the fruit. So it's completely dark when you bite into it, unlike a blueberry. And that essentially means that it has a much higher amount of these pigments, these compounds called anthocyanins, which are the sort of health components of these berries. So we want to breed a berry that is still like a blueberry, but has the colored flesh from a bilberry. So essentially that's what this kind of project's about. But to do that, you kind of need information about the genomes of those two berries to know what genes are inside the berries. We know we have information on that from blueberry, and the genome has been published, but no one had published the bilberry genome. Bilberry is it's a really nice fruit, but it's not commercially grown at all. There's been no breeding, but it's got a lot of potential. So that's why we wanted to sequence the bilberry genome so that we could understand what genes it has compared to what genes blueberry has, which is a very long way of answering your question, really.
It's all good. How do you go about breeding the genomes of two different fruits like that?
So it's a process called hybridization, where you have to use specific techniques and kind of manual pollination from one fruit to another. So it's a little bit more intense than normal breeding, but there are lots of examples of hybridized fruits out there, but not so far between blueberry and bilberry. And it's quite tricky because they have very different, although they're closely related, they have very different genomes. So that's our challenge at the moment, to get these two to sort of talk to each other.
So what led your team to deciding to pursue this research?
Well, we have a really good blueberry breeding program here in New Zealand out of Motueka. And we feel that this new type of berry would be a really novel sort of berry with an extra health kick. So we think the market would really like that, and we know that there are commercial people who are quite interested in this concept. So for the first time, you would be having a kind of quite a different sort of berry with this big shot of anthocyanin, this big, as I said, this big sort of health kick. So, that's really why we think it would be really good for the New Zealand berry market. It would give us a point of differentiation, something that others maybe aren't doing around the world.
Do you think that bilberries will become commercially available in the future?
Well, I hope so, but they're quite difficult plants. So we were very lucky. We've got really nice people that we collaborate with in up way north of the Arctic Circle in Tromsø in Norway, and they collected a lot of seeds for us from these wonderful bilberry plants that just grow in the wild, really. And we imported them into New Zealand, and they went through all the quarantine. And now we actually have them growing here. And they're nice plants, and they produce these lovely berries. But we would have to, what we call domesticate them. So we'd have to try and breed them into something that's more commercially viable, into a bush that's a bit more like a blueberry bush that's got very good flowering and therefore very good fruiting. But I really hope so, because I think it would be something really different. And I know they're tasty because I've eaten them. So I hope so. And I think it would be good for our horticultural industry too.
You mentioned that the bilberry seeds had to go through quarantine to get here from Norway.
Yeah.
In the same way that humans do.
Well, no, because luckily for quarantine for humans was only, you know, with COVID, it was only a week or two, wasn't it? But for these things, it was months and months. In fact, it was over a year, because they have to be grown up from seed and then tested for anything, for viruses and things like this, because obviously we don't want to import anything that's going to bring something unwanted into New Zealand. So they have to go through this really rigorous testing. It's quite a process, but I guess it's there to make sure that we protect our existing horticultural industry, that we don't import a plant with something nasty on it. And of course, these plants, you know, the seeds were collected from the wild, so we had to be sure. But you can't, it's quite difficult importing plants into New Zealand for good reason, but it is difficult.
Yeah, definitely. So when did you guys start this project? Around the beginning of the pandemic?
Before the pandemic, fortunately. And we imported these seeds about 4 years ago, and then they grew up, as I said, in this quarantine facility, and they were tested, and then they were released into our glass houses at Plant and Food Research, and now we've got them growing as far south as Clyde and in Motueka and Palmerston North and Auckland, and we're seeing how they cope with the New Zealand climate. It kind of makes sense that they would like a colder climate. So the South Island, so Clyde, for example, might be really good. But we're just monitoring to see how they go. In the wild, these plants are, for some months of the year, completely immersed in the dark and under snow, because we're talking about plants from the real far north. So we're not sure how they're going to grow in New Zealand, but they seem to be quite happy so far.
Awesome. Be sure to keep us posted. Do you have any final thoughts?
No, not really. Just to say I think it's really exciting, and it's been really good to work with people who are enthused about the project. And we published this genome in a nice journal, and we also worked with some Sami cultural professors from Finland and Norway, because where the seeds were collected from, they're the traditional lands of the Sami people, and we wanted to pay some respect to that. So we've got a special sort of cultural notice on this published paper, and I think that's very fitting for us here in New Zealand to, you know, think about species that come from lands that Indigenous people once used or still do use.
That was Richard Espley from Plant and Food Research New Zealand on the genome sequencing of bilberries.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.